Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, everyone. This episode was recorded live at Comic-Con. And before we get into it, just a few things. Wanted to first thank those of you who were able to come so much. Seeing you there was incredible. It was so, so cool. You were so supportive and wonderful and kind. And we just can't even put into words how unbelievably grateful we are for all of you. And a little note about the audio. This was recorded live, so the audio quality may sound a bit different than what you're used to. And the first few minutes of the audio got a little bit wonky. So our apologies for that. Hopefully it does not get in the way of your enjoyment of the episode. We had so, so much fun doing this. Hopefully we'll get to do more things like it in the future. But until then, and without further ado, please enjoy the episode.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
I've got the first stats.
Okay.
Do you have them?
I have them. Okay. Yeah. just because I like making you guys clap. Clap if you've seen Child's Play. Great. Child's Play came out in 1988, directed by Tom Holland. Starring Katherine Hicks, Chris Sarandon, Alex Vincent, and Brad Dourif. And Emily and I both watched this movie. Emily's getting braver and braver.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been wanting to do this movie for so long. I have never seen it, obviously, but I did see the Goosebumps episode where there's a doll that comes alive, and man, that scared me so badly. And so I'm just really hoping that this doesn't give me nightmares in the same way.
What were everyone's thoughts on Chucky in particular? I feel like
he's cute.
Everyone
pretty cute. I tried to dress
up. Asked if my body was hot.
No.
Because of Pennywise, famously. No. I love Pennywise, and they kind of...
She loves a redhead. You only see the picture of him being really gross and creepy with, like, the scars and, like... And he's... When he's just a little regular doll at the beginning, he's pretty cute. I get it.
No sexual awakening like with Casper, though. That's not happening.
No.
Sure. It's a completely different situation. Should we talk about some trivia?
Let's do some trivia.
Okay, great. So... We got a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 58% on Metacritic, and a 6.6 on IMDb.
Between a 6 and a 7? Great, it's a 6.6.
Pretty standard. $9 million budget, and made $44.2 million in the box office. So not bad.
I'm curious to know the cumulative gross of all the Chucky things. It just keeps going and going.
I think I know it off the top of my head.
What an insane thing to know off the top of your head.
$309 million-ish.
Whoa,
can't bump it up to 10.
It's in the low 300 millions because it's like the lowest in the franchises.
Really?
As far as like Halloween and
franchises.
Scream.
I think we're gonna change that today.
Yeah, we're gonna make it so much money today.
So yeah, this is the first movie in the franchise. There are 8 films total and a TV series. Chucky's full name is Charles Lee Ray, which is derived from the names of notorious killers Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald, and James Earl Ray. Genius touch there. Okay, this is one of my favorite ones. It took 11 different people to control Chucky, with a different person handling each part of his body, from his legs to his eyebrows.
I feel like that comes across.
It looks really good!
I mean, the world of practical effects is infinitely more interesting than the world of special effects.
Yeah.
I mean, that is crazy. 11 people for one of the dolls?
I love behind it. And the doll is small, so where were they all?
Yeah, where were they located?
Where were all of them?
It's like Sesame Street Muppets. They're like down below somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, down below. Yeah, they're called down below.
Okay, a couple more. Ed Gale, an actor with dwarfism, was hired to play Chucky for the fire scene. Since he was around 30% taller than the doll, the filmmakers created a living room stage that was 30% bigger. A lot of effort there.
Love that.
Unfortunately, while filming the scene, they set him on fire.
Oh my god!
So that's...
That is unfortunate.
If only they put as much effort into not setting him on fire. Some casting what-ifs for Chucky. These are great. John Lithgow was considered.
Oh!
Gary Oldman, also considered.
Very serious actor.
And Jessica Walters. They actually did record Jessica Walters reading some of Chucky's lines, but they did not use them.
So funny. I want to hear those.
I do too. But Brad Dourif is great.
Yeah.
Great casting.
Okay, last one. Despite his reputation as a hater of all things horror, our boy Roger Ebert, he gave a positive review to this film.
Wow, shocking.
Roger is tough.
Can we commit these?
He is tough, please.
It's great. Okay, I'm excited to hear about it. I have no idea what happens. Does he come alive?
No, but 11 people move his little dead corpse around. No, I mean, should we get it? Clap if you want to hear the movie. Okay. open on the nighttime streets of Chicago. We're in the middle of a gunfight. The gun sound effects are true, like little lasers, like pew, pew. Some of the wildest gun sound effects I've ever heard. We see a cop in a
big, big turtleneck sweater running through the streets of Chicago, shooting, trying to get this guy. He says to his partner, I got the strangler, I got him. We see the strangler getting away, and we see his getaway van leave him behind. Uh-oh. Goes, Eddie, no! Leaves him behind. So he's stranded.
Uh-oh.
Runs into, shoots his way into a closed toy store. Gets in the toy store. Cop gets in. It's a real cat and mouse. We're hiding. We're trying to find each other. The strangler ends up getting shot in the chest. So he actually says, oh my God, I'm dying. so he is not going to make it out of this one, but he's still eluding capture. He starts crawling through this toy store. He keeps saying, I got to find somebody.
I got to find somebody. What do I do?
I got to find somebody. And he topples way huger than any human ever has into a stack of good guys' dolls. Uh-huh. These are the dolls that you know which doll I'm talking about. And pulls them to the ground. And he has this moment where he looks into the eyes of this doll and sort of goes like, And
this could work.
I said I gotta find somebody, but
this doll will work.
This could be fun. And he grabs the doll with his bloody hands out of the case and puts his hands on him and starts chanting an incantation.
Oh, I was so thrown by this opening scene.
This opening scene.
I don't know how I thought Chucky came to be, but it was not this.
It was not this. And I'm with you on that. I didn't think it was this either. And he puts his hands on the doll and he starts saying this incantation, and the sky turns dark and big clouds are coming and lightning is striking. This toy store, gorgeous, has a big, beautiful glass ceiling. Like, it's completely stunning. We see lightning above the ceiling. The cop's looking around. He still doesn't, for some reason, know where the guy is, even though he's been laying on the ground chanting. But he's still moving through the toy store trying to find him. And lightning strikes through the glass ceiling, shatters the glass ceiling, explodes the toy store. Fire, all the windows blow out. The dust settles the cop unscathed.
Hey, who needs Barbie? Who needs Barbie? Who needs Oppenheimer? We got dolls and explosions.
We got dolls and explosions. Right, it's happening here, right here. For those movies, who cares? And that's cut two. Mm-hmm. A cute little kid, probably what?
Six, I think. Eight? They tell us that he's six, but eight's a great guess.
Six. My first thought is this kid is abandoned. He's making himself breakfast, watching, he's like pouring a massive bowl of cereal with a mountain of sugar on top, and he's watching the Good Guys TV show, and he sees a commercial for the Good Guys doll, which is the doll that we saw. This commercial, I don't have time to get into it. It's completely insane. It looks like the guy, and I think you should leave, that's like, know what you're doing before you come out here. It's like a good guy version of that. Anyway, I talked about it even though I said I wouldn't. And he wants the good guy's doll. That's the commercial. And we go and we realize it's his birthday. He says his mom comes out, gives him his presents, doesn't get a good guy's doll.
It's his birthday, he's making his own breakfast?
Well, it's too early.
I had a question. He's making his mom breakfast in bed on his birthday.
This kid works too hard.
I was a little confused by that.
She also is pretty pissed that he wakes her up. She's like, oh, it's 6:30. It's his birthday, 6:30. As a parent.
Reasonable.
Pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
She's a single mom. Let's cut her some slack.
Yep. Wait, is this the mom? Is this the mom from Seventh Heaven?
This is the mom from Seventh Heaven.
Great, great, great. Okay.
This, and now I know what you mean when you say the mom. Yes, it's the mom. It's the TV mom. And it's his birthday, but he doesn't get the good guy set doll. He just gets a little tool set, and he's sad.
Oh.
So at work that morning.
More work for him. Tool set. That's fair.
He's working so hard. This kid does nothing but work. At work, her work, her friend runs in and says, there's a peddler in the alley selling a good guy's doll. So she runs out, buys the good guy's doll. From a peddler, because I've been thinking, like, this doll has got to have bloody handprints all over it. Like, we know it's the doll. We saw him put bloody hands on this doll. Doll's clean. I guess the peddler cleaned it off. But when the mom goes back into work, her boss gets mad at her for leaving, tells her, you're going to have to work tonight. So her friend says, I'll babysit. No problem.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
There's
going to be a problem. So that night, we see, the kid's name is Andy, by the way.
cute.
And he's so cute, and he's really good in this, I thought.
He's pretty cute. There were moments where I was like, I don't know if I'm buying it, and then he sold me. And then he sold me. The child also, the real life child, working very hard, working
yeah.
a job.
Yeah. Too much. Kids shouldn't work.
Kids should not work. But so at home that night, he's playing with his Chucky doll. The doll introduces himself. Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'll be your friend till the end. He's thrilled about it. They're playing with the little tool set. While the news comes on in the background, Chucky turns his little head to watch the news. And a news report says that Eddie something, the partner of the strangler, escaped.
Eddie Caputo.
Sorry, Eddie Caputo.
How could you forget?
Sorry, partner of serial killer Charles Lee Ray, escaped from the prison or something. And yeah. the, more on the 9 o'clock news. It's time for Andy to go to bed. And Andy says, Chucky says he wants to watch the 9 o'clock news.
I loved that. Chucky wants to watch the 9 o'clock news.
And so Aunt Maggie, who's his mom's friend who's babysitting, is like, oh, sure he does. Turns the TV off, picks Andy up, puts him in bed, dragging Chucky forcefully along into the bedroom. Shuts the door. Time for bed. She's cleaning up in the kitchen. Here's the news come on. Walks over there. Chucky is sitting in front of the television.
Uh-oh.
She grabs Chucky, brings him back into the bed, says, Andy, I told you you can't put on the news. And you turn the news on and put Chucky in front of it. And he's like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Of course, she doesn't believe him. She says, time for bed. Shuts the door. Goes back out. Some time passes. She's sitting, passing out, waiting out the night, babysitting. She is reading a book and watching a movie at the same time.
Hey, I feel like I can relate. I do so much stuff while I'm watching movies.
Do you
TV.
Read a book?
No, I guess not, but I'm like reading full things on my phone.
I guess that's true. If it's another screen, it doesn't count.
Okay. Fair enough.
And so she starts hearing little noises around. She's getting a little creeped out. We start to hear little like pitter patter of tiny feet, but she turns, nothing's there. We hear breathing. It like truly sounds like a little dog panting.
That's great.
And everywhere she looks, she doesn't see anything. Thinks, oh, I'm just getting myself too worked up. Everything's fine. Turns around, tiny little toy hammer smacks her in the head, knocking her back. She stumbles. She grabbing, trying her hardest, slams into a window, breaks it, falls to her death.
What? That was so fast.
The impact is crazy, too. She
it's
like,
a toy hammer.
Almost explodes onto a car.
She must be so strong. She falls hard enough to smash through an apartment window and break a car in half.
Wow.
And I feel like she's only like
she's third, a small woman.
Third floor. No.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daiblinds.com/too scary.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Which is like, not that high.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's a big crazy death. That night, mom, her name is Karen.
Mom is Karen, yes.
Karen. Sounds right. Mm-hmm. She comes home. Oh my God, Maggie's dead. This is a whole. There's a detective there, the same detective we saw in the turtleneck in the beginning.
Oh wow. Okay, great.
He had seen some child-sized footprints on the counter, and suspects that it was Andy. She thinks that her 6-year-old son is a murderer, and she is not having it. She's like, please, I need to be with my son. This was a very traumatic thing, which of course, and sends the cops out and. She's sitting with Andy in his room saying, are you okay? I know that was really scary. What happened? And he says, it's okay. I've got Chucky. And she's like, oh yeah. What does Chucky say to you? And she's, Chucky told me that his name is Charles Lee Ray. And that, God. He was sent from heaven by daddy to hang out with me.
Ooh. Why did he give his real name?
It's a great question.
You can put yourself in a doll, but you can't come up with a fake name.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, listen, kid. And she says, oh, that's nice. What else does Chucky say? And she says, Andy says, he said that Aunt Maggie was a real bitch who deserved what she got.
Oh, my God.
And the mom says, Andy, that's terrible. Why would you never say that? That's
it would be very troubling.
It would be.
In that moment.
I would be troubled. And so he says, I'm sorry, I won't. She said, Chucky's just a doll. He's just a doll. Don't make up stories. He goes, I'm sorry, I won't make up stories anymore. She shuts the door, sends him to bed, and he turns to Chucky and says, you were right. She didn't believe me.
Oh.
Next day at school, Andy, 6, mind you, is dropped off at school. My mom just says, are you sure you're okay? You didn't have any bad dreams about Aunt Maggie? No, you're good to go to school? Okay, see ya. drops him off. He's like, that's okay, I got Chucky. And she said, Chucky's just a doll, right? And he says, Chucky's just a doll. Great. We watch her say, okay, goodbye, start walking down the street. He walks in the door, turns around, walks out, walks down the street. I'm like, there are no adults at the door of this elementary school.
No.
We're just letting kids walk in and out. He walks out. He starts taking Chucky on a tour of Chicago. They take the train together. He's a little child sitting with a little doll, completely unsupervised.
Oh my God,
I've never been to Chicago. Maybe they don't care about that there.
It's the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 80s. That's what it is.
Anything goes.
And he's just walking through town, every now and again, he'll like lean over to Chucky, like Chucky's whispering in his ear. So we're not hearing any Chucky talk, but they got something going on. So clearly Chucky is navigating him through Chicago, and they get to an abandoned building. And Andy says, I gotta go, Chucky, you wait here. I gotta go take a leak. And he goes off away to go pee in the snow. And when he comes back, Chucky's gone. And we, again, we go into this house. There's a lot of rats.
Mm, I love rats.
That sounded like I like to eat rats.
Yummy.
A lot of cutie little rats crawling around. But we, once again, the little pitter-patter of Chucky feet and... presumably he's just working really hard to like run around in this little doll body.
Yeah.
And we see him turn on, it's a tiny little hand, turn the gas up in the oven. And then once again, the house explodes.
What?
Whole house explodes. Oh, I should have mentioned an important thing, which is this is the house of his partner who had escaped.
Eddie Caputo.
Okay. Eddie Caputo. Sorry, once again. Eddie Caputo, Eddie Caputo, Eddie Caputo. I got it. Rest in peace. And so the house explodes. Eddie Caputo is dead. cut to the police station. Now they really suspect this kid because they found this kid at another murder scene. So it's the same detective as before. His name is Mike, Detective Norris. Chris Sarandon, who I only know as Prince Humperdinck, so that was all I was thinking the whole time.
I looked it up because I was like,
Sarandon?
Well, it must be Susan Sarandon's brother because they kind of look alike. They have like a siblings or dating thing. It's her ex-husband.
Siblings or ex-husband?
Siblings or ex-husband.
But Humperdinck for other context. Yep. But so they've got Andy in a little, you know, two-way, one-way, we can't get into it, observation mirror room. And he's there with Chucky, and he keeps saying, Chucky did it. Chucky, tell them what you did. Tell them. Mom comes in, and she says, Andy, you really have to, like, tell the truth now, because if you don't tell the truth, they're going to take you away from me. Horrible. And so he's trying to get Chucky. He's like, Chucky, say something. Say something. He's punching Chucky. Chucky won't say anything. And this child psychologist on the other side of the mirror says, I think I've seen more than enough. I think we should take Andy with us for a couple of days. And we'll talk about it. But they bring him to child prison.
Yeah.
It's really insane.
I was really shocked. But she's just like, oh, okay.
It looks like fucking Shutter Island where they put this kid. It's wild.
Really crazy.
So they take Andy away for a few days. And so we see the mom come home that night looking very upset. She's got the Chucky doll. She puts him on the couch in front of her, and she's like, say something to me. Like, she's just like, let's see if you are really what my kid says you are. Of course, he just goes, hi, I'm Chucky, and I'll be your friend to the end. And she's like, ugh, yeah, I knew it. Okay, great. Goes into the kitchen, picks up the box from the good guy's doll that she never threw out, and is like looking at it, and just really a single mom at the end of her rope. And, it's normal single mom stuff. And two batteries, still pristinely wrapped in plastic, drop from the box. And then what happens, Sammy?
Oh my God, she is shocked and stunned, as we all are.
We all are stunned.
What could this possibly mean?
And she seems to take it immediately, like, oh, well, I guess it's all true. Where I'd be like, oh, it must have other batteries.
Yeah.
But so she sees Chucky sitting on the living room table, goes out, slowly approaches, opens up that little battery compartment, and it is empty. His head swivels around one more time, scares her. Hi, I'm Chucky. Want to play? She drops him, tumbles under the couch. Very funny. But
she's like a little tuck and roll. He just goes like.
And she picks him back up and is shaking him now, like, talk. I know you can talk. Show me that you can talk. He's not talking now. So she turns on the fireplace and threatens to throw him in the fire. Mm-hmm. Says, talk or I'm going to throw you in the fire. And he bursts to life. And
his face goes from being like, to. It's like, really, like the 11 people doing their work, you can see it.
Yeah. And he says, you stupid bitch, you filthy slut. Starts cursing at her. She screams, drops him. Obviously, it's very shocking.
It was very shocking. It would be so shocking.
But it gives him enough time to scuttles away. He gets out of the house.
He bites her.
Oh, he bites her. Yes.
He bites her arm. Big, gross. Nasty. Kind of looks like a Twilight bite, to be completely honest.
It doesn't look good. Yeah.
Not a vampire bite, a Twilight bite.
So she goes out, tries to go after him, but he gets away. So she tracks down Detective Norris. Are we calling him Mike?
Well, let's call him Mike.
Let's call him Mike. First name basis.
Turtleneck Mike.
She tracks down Mike and is frantic, like, Andy wasn't lying, it's real, Chucky's alive, and he, of course, does not believe her either, and she shows him the bite, they're like, does this look like I'm faking it? He's like, all right, lady, what is going on? Still not on board, but it's clear that she's going to pursue the truth, and she's like, fine, I'm going to go to the place, to the peddler I got it from and find out more information, gets in a cab and drives away. He kind of rolls his eyes.
I must serve and protect,
dangerous area, so he follows her there, and they track down the peddler, and he find out information that he got the doll from, you guessed it, the burned down toy store. Mm-hmm. And Mike It's like, well, that's where I killed Charles Lee Ray. And I feel like pretty quickly, Karen is like, so Charles Lee Ray is Chucky.
Well, first, yeah, she puts two and two. But she also says, what? Why didn't you tell me that? And it's like, why would he tell it? It's completely irrelevant.
You're strangers. Said, you're strangers.
That's a different case. I didn't tell you everything about me.
Her son already said Charles Lee Ray.
Yes. And so she's like, clocked it.
I mean, yeah, she's going to put that together.
Yeah.
Mother always knows.
Her intuition is so strong.
And he tells her that the lightning had struck the building, and so she's like, oh, there must have been some little voodoo spell.
Hey, look, laugh all you want. She was right as hell.
And so now Mike is driving her home, and she's saying, Charles Lee Ray say anything to you that night? And he said he was going to kill me and Eddie Caputo. And he's already killed one of them. And so Karen is like, well, you're next, obviously. You can't go home. It's not safe. And he disregards this, is like, all right, whatever. I need to go home and sleep. Get out. Drops her off at home. Then sure enough, as he's driving home, a little silhouette of a doll rises from the back seat and strangles him from behind with a little wire, and he's slamming on the gas as this is happening.
His decisions in this moment, I couldn't. Yeah, he's like, well, I'll just drive faster.
A really crazy decision, just flooring it as he's being strangled.
Absolutely flooring it.
Then Chucky starts stabbing through the back of the seat, and it's this very funny, like, physical comedy Three Stooges, like, ooh, ooh,
he stabs through the leg. Through the, oh! He starts, like, poking his butt. It's like, no, no, no. And once again, I'm like, look, this wouldn't be easy, and maybe this is just only a thing that happens in television, but I'm like, open the door and roll out. Like, get out of the car. But he drives faster
and faster until finally he tries to hit the brake, but too late. Chucky crawled down there now. He's stopping it and pressing the gas more. Car spins out of control, flips over, gets an accident. They're now upside down, and Mike gets out his gun, and Chucky attacks him with the knife, and Mike shoots him, flies backwards in slow motion.
Chucky flies back so far!
And we cut away. So Mike seemingly got away that night. We see the next day, Karen is going to Charles Lee Ray's house to investigate further, because Mike gave her the address.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of things that I feel like a cop just simply shouldn't do, but...
And Andy,
it moves the story forward, you know?
He's still in child prison, right?
Yeah.
Andy hasn't been in child prison the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Great, great, great.
Oh, yeah.
There are bars prison. And everything, you'll see.
And so she's at this house, and it has all these paintings on the wall that look like voodoo.
Satanic.
Spells. There's something written on the wall, like, thank you for life after death. So he's into some voodoo shit, which she suspected. Because she's got the best
instincts.
And Mike shows up there as well, and now he believes her, because...
He should.
He's now fought Chucky. And he's pulled Charles Lee Ray's file, and they find a lead, a guy that he hung out with a lot, that's also painted on the wall of this place, that is his voodoo teacher.
Yeah, this was the part of the movie where I thought, I don't know where we're going to go here. And we sort of do okay. But he does have a sort of... guru type figure that was painted on his wall that is, yeah, maybe our next lead of where to go find out more.
Yeah, and so they say we need to beat Chucky there. Too late. Chucky's already there. Chucky confronts this guy. It's like a witch doctor, I guess, but his name is John.
And I said we'll call him John.
John the witch doctor, sure.
That's right. And John is... very surprised to see Chucky as a doll and thinks he's an abomination. And Chucky's saying, you know, I need to get out of this doll body. I don't want to be in this body forever. John tells him that the longer he stays in the body, the more human he gets, because he's upset that he got shot and that it hurt. He's like, it really hurt when I got shot. Why did it hurt? I'm a doll.
Great question, honestly.
Yeah. And he's saying, you know, you should, you'll turn more human as it goes. And he's like, okay, tell me how to get out of the body. He says, no, I'm not going to tell you. And So Chucky whips out a voodoo doll of John that John had. Why does someone have a voodoo doll of themselves?
Great question.
Laying around.
And you know what? In this moment, I bet he's asking himself the same thing.
Yeah. Not smart. And Chucky also says, like, you shouldn't have told me where you kept this hidden.
Where you hide your voodoo doll.
Another mistake.
Another mistake.
Another big mistake from John.
And so Chucky takes the voodoo doll, snaps the leg.
This was, I thought, the most intense part of the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting. John's like fucking explode. It's like breaks in every.
It's exploding.
It like breaks in many directions.
Yeah, it's bad.
It looks very painful. He's screaming in pain. He's saying, "Tell me how to get out of his body." Doesn't tell him. Breaks the arm.
Ow.
And he's screaming in pain again. He's like, "No, I'm still not going to tell you." Chucky pulls out a knife and is like, "Okay, well, I'm going to kill you." And so John says, okay, I'll tell you. And he says, the only way to get out of the body is to do the same spell on the first person you revealed your true self to. And Chucky laughs and laughs and laughs and says, well, I've got a date with a 6-year-old boy. Which I was really not expecting that line in this movie. No. Really caught me off guard.
Hey, this movie is full of surprises.
Yeah. Full of surprises. And but he still stabs the voodoo doll, and so he leaves John to bleed out. But Karen and Mike are close on their tails and like come in just after Chucky has left, but before John has died. And so John is able to tell them, you need to get
I love when it works out that way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just
it's
enough
really
to get
nice.
The crucial information you need.
Yeah.
And so he tells them, you've got to get to the child, and that the only way to kill Chucky is through the heart. Shoot him in the heart, which they really don't pay attention to that information later.
No, yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, true.
Where was he that's shot fair. Earlier? Not through the heart.
Like the heart. Shoulder.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Which, if John Wick tells us anything, that's a fine place to be shot.
Yeah.
Right.
Easy peasy.
Right.
And so now we see Andy in his prison cell.
He's in a cell with bars. It's gray. Maybe I'm just remembering this. I feel like he's got his little arms dangling out the cell, just like waiting out his time.
Oh, and he sees Chucky running into the building like and he's terrified and he's trying to get people's attention. Chucky's coming. He's coming here to kill me. Everyone thinks he's, you know, insane, and they're trying to restrain him, and he gets out of his room. We see Chucky has made it into the building. They are in this operating room, and the doctor now has caught up to Andy. Andy is really giving a chilling performance.
This is where he won me over.
Yeah. And he's so, so scared. And he's saying, he's going to kill me. He'll kill you too. Doctor's about to sedate him, which we know will be very bad because Chucky's right there. But Chucky jumps out and puts the electroshock helmet on the doctor. And turns it on.
Why is this in a child prison?
Also, why is there an operating room in the child prison?
This is a bad place. This is not a good place.
This is not good.
And Karen didn't even think twice about it. She's just like, oh, yeah,
she's
whatever.
Like, yeah, go ahead. They'll
take him there, I guess.
Yeah. And I don't remember her visiting once.
No. And so while this doctor is being electrocuted to death, which is also pretty gruesome. He's bleeding from his mouth.
His whole face is red and burned and
crispy.
Bloody and blood everywhere. It was bad.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be allowed to exist, this
no.
helmet thing.
No.
Certainly not in a child's
not
prison.
Good. Not for children.
Not for children. But while that's happening, it gives Andy a chance to get away. So he gets a little bit of a head start. Chucky pursues him soon after. And Karen and Mike once again arrive a little bit too late to try to get to Andy, see that he is no longer there. Karen says he's going to be home. I know he's going to go home. And we see Andy has gotten home first. He's doing his best to barricade the doors and keep himself safe.
And then,
he's really independent.
He's really trying.
He already made it all the way through the city. He can make his own breakfast. I mean, if anybody can handle Chucky, I think it's Andy.
Yeah, yeah. He's really trying. And we see Chucky coming up the elevator, and there's an older couple that are in the elevator with him, and someone says, oh, so the kid left their doll in here. And as they're getting out of the elevator, the woman's like, really ugly doll. And the elevator's going up, and Chucky says, fuck you. And then Chucky gets in through the chimney into their apartment.
I honestly don't. I don't recall.
He was going up the elevator. When did he go out? I don't know.
He gets in.
This apartment building?
I don't know. But
oh, yeah. Why would there be a chimney? It goes through everybody's apartments.
They must
just
be,
one
must
chimney
be top floor.
One big fireplace.
So Chucky gets in. Andy has a baseball bat. He is going to hit Chucky as he walks up, but he swings when Chucky gets to him, completely misses, drops the baseball bat. It didn't work out for Andy. It seemed like he really had a plan, but it did not work out. And so Chucky gets the baseball bat and says, batter up, and smacks Andy over the head, knocks him unconscious, starts doing his spell. We see the lightning storm a brewing, and Karen and Mike are arriving, see that as well, but they know that's bad from the toy store, and they arrive just in time to kick him off Andy. And all of these physical fights with Chucky are so funny. It's like, just hold him like away.
I really thought the same thing. One time, remember Theo got out, my youngest cat, and we grabbed him, and he was a kitten at this point. I mean, like smaller than this card, and we grabbed him to bring him in, and he latched on to Joel's hand and like gave him like four steps. So I'm just, all that's to say, sometimes a small thing can be more intense than you expect.
Yeah,
and
Chucky
is fast.
Yeah, hard to get a grip on him.
He is fast, but they're like kicking him around. He's flying a little rag doll around. It's very funny. Mike goes in pursuit of Chucky while Karen's tending to Andy, and Chucky gets that baseball bat back and hits Mike unconscious now. And so Karen and Andy have a little face-off with Chucky where Karen gets him into the fireplace, and he's going absolutely apeshit, like, get me out of here. And so she's tried like holding the grate closed to keep him in there, but then she can't reach the matches to light the fire. And so she calls to Andy, get the matches. And he does, and he's walking up, and he's lighting the match. And Chucky turns to Andy, we're friends to the end, remember?
I hate this. So manipulative.
And it's Andy, so manipulative.
So manipulative. But Andy says, this is the end, friend.
Whoa, Andy, I feel his ears.
Throws the match in, lights Chucky on fire. Chucky flies out of the fireplace fully on fire, rolls around like this whole house. Nothing else catches on fire.
Nothing catches on
just
fire.
Just the actor
I think
inside.
Smile, this is the actor who's actually on fire.
But the whole rest of the house really fireproof.
This is a fire purely attracted to human skin.
Yeah. And he burns to a crisp. He's and looks like
melty because he's a plasticky doll.
He looks like the Terminator, a little mini Terminator.
He looks like a Terminator.
And they're like, well, he's dead. Even though we've have been given this piece of information that there's only one way to kill him, but he does seem dead. I'll give him that. He's not. Spoiler alert, he's not. But they leave him. Well, Karen leaves Andy with him and is like, I'll go tend to Mike. And he comes back alive and is like chasing Andy with a knife now. Oh, and they have another little fight. And
I mean, look, I get that this doll is fast. It's also three against one. I really don't understand why they can't get a handle on this doll.
It doesn't make sense, but
to be fair, one of them's a six-year-old, so.
And one is currently unconscious. It's kind of just.
Okay, so it's one against one.
Yeah.
A classic one against one. Okay, fine.
And so now Karen is, has the gun and is shooting Chucky. Shoots his head off first. Pretty good shot. I assume this lady hasn't really shot a lot of guns before. She's a pretty good
shot.
Pretty small target. Shoots his head off. Shoots his arm off. Shoots one of his legs off. He collapses.
Not his heart.
Doesn't shoot him in the heart.
Not his heart.
But again, he looks lifeless, and they're like, phew, he's really dead this time. And They go back into Mike has woken up and they're coming together like, oh, it's all over. And his partner arrives and they're like, it was real. It was the doll the whole time. And his partner picks up the doll's head, the Chucky head, and is like, this burned, decapitated doll head? Ha, you guys are crazy. Body comes back to life, starts strangling the partner, and he's able to fling him off. Mike shoots him. Karen says, shoot him through the heart. And he shoots him through the heart. Big blood splatter, which we haven't seen any blood splatter in any of the other shots before. And so it seems like now Chucky is really dead. And the movie ends on a freeze frame of just Andy's little traumatized face staring.
I cannot believe the fact, since we're rarely in a visual environment, the end shot of the movie is this.
It's just like,
and it really freeze frames for like 30 seconds.
It's just like the scariest, most traumatized little like, boy.
Is there rolling credits over it, or is it just the frame?
No, it's just the frame, and then it fades to black.
I couldn't believe it. I thought our movie had frozen. And I was like, nope, that's the end. All right, there we go.
I loved it.
Oh my God. Honestly, I did too. I really had a good time.
It was fun. It's a franchise for a reason. It's fun.
It's a franchise for
a
reason.
It's way fun. It makes me want to watch the rest of them. I am in. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. And
Chucky has
luckily
great
there's
timing. Great, you know, one-liners.
Great one-liners.
I just
Chucky's
want to
funny.
Know how
I'm a fan, and I think it's a manageable one for people who are scared. What do you think?
Oh, definitely.
It's like more
especially
comedy than
in,
horror.
In this one, you don't see a lot of the violence, like the hammer throwing and stuff. That all you just like see it from the other end because I think that would have been hard to execute, like getting a little doll to do that kind of stuff. So, and it's mainly just it is really funny and confusing about the way children were treated, generally speaking, in the 80s. Maybe the later ones sort of clear that up for me, but I don't have a lot of faith in the 90s for doing it better. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
The scariest part was the child prison. That
You're
was
right.
Definitely the most.
And look,
concept.
There were other children there. Like, they're still there, as far as we know. Nobody picked up those other kids. So, yeah, that could have its own horror movie,
oh
probably.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy I know about this movie now, you guys.
This is like such a, it feels like a really crucial one that it's taken us a while to get to, and now we've done it.
Yeah, now we've done it. Now we have seven more.
Just seven more to do.
And a TV series.
And a TV series. That's nothing. We got that in the bag.
Yeah.
I can't wait. What's Chucky going to do next?
What will he do next? We got Bride of Chucky. We got Seed of
Bride
Chucky.
Bride of Chucky? He gets married?
Yes. I feel like
okay.
I remember.
I did not know we had a rom-com in the franchise.
I'm telling you. I'm going to watch the rest of them. I'm really excited.
Well.
I'm a fan. Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Great. It was great. I have no notes at all.
No notes. A perfect film. We did it.
Great job, Tom Holland, the actor in his 20s.
The man can do it all.
Really? Yeah, what can't he do?
The man can do it all. Hey, clap if you had a good time. Thank you so very much for coming. That's all we got.
That's it for us. You can, if you are not familiar with our podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you are familiar with us, then cool.
Cool. Thanks. Cool. Thanks so much. Hey, have a great Comic-Con.
Yay.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right. We love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.